Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Walking as Children of God. Chapter 15. Children and Heirs, Part 4. In continuation of the three previous chapters on the condition of children and heirs, to which the Lord calls all those who receive Christ as Lord in their hearts, and equally regarding the matter of a Christian being called to abide in the condition of a child of God granted by the Heavenly Father, we see in the Scriptures yet another aspect that needs to be seen carefully so that it does not interfere with the heavenly inheritance that the Lord wants to share with His children. And, in turn, this other point is related to the condition of inappropriate associations that the children of God should not have with those who are not in line with the position of children of God. Thus, depending on the type of association that a child of God has in the world, one may also place oneself in positions that compromise one's condition of being free to receive the parts of the inheritance that God wants to share with him or her. We understand that it is still worth highlighting here that the point mentioned in the previous paragraph is a little different from the aspect of a person placing oneself directly under the yoke of the law or under tutors seen in the earlier chapters. In this new point, the Scriptures address the issue of when a person indirectly places oneself under bondage by associating with certain positions or practices of other people. By way of example, let us consider, then, a person who has accepted Christ, who wants to live as a child of God, and who does not want to be under the law, but who still, even though one is not affiliated with a group that follows laws similar to the First Covenant, likes to attend meetings of people who are under the law and even likes to receive instructions and prayers from those who choose to submit to the law. The person in this last example, by simultaneously trying to seek God in Christ and seek the supposed blessings of God through those who are under the law that is contrary to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, places oneself in a condition inconsistent with both the law that is not according to grace as with its condition of being under the grace of God and being an heir of God. And if God would grant his inheritance to the person in the example of the previous paragraphs, to the person who falters between two opposing ways of life, the Lord would be agreeing that an individual who flirts with the law and the bondage it generates could also receive the heavenly inheritance with those who are free in the Lord. In other words, God would be endorsing that a little of the law could contribute to obtaining the inheritance that comes by grace, through faith, and vice versa. God would be endorsing syncretism, mixture, or a combination of grace and faith with the condemning law. Nevertheless, as the one who grants the inheritance by grace to his children, God does not give his glory as a heavenly father to others, nor does he consider the things that human beings try to establish for themselves as paths of blessing or for obtaining the heavenly inheritance. Isaiah 42, 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Isaiah 48, 11. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it, for how should my name be profaned? And I will not give my glory to another. God does not make concessions for his glory to be corrupted either by living people, idols made from carved images, or by laws and rules that people establish in their own names or the name of their idols. On the contrary, God acts so that his glory and his name remain holy, and so that the truth that there is only one true living God and one true mediator between God and human beings always remains exalted and known by people worldwide. Here, however, it is also worth highlighting that when the Scriptures instruct God's children about the associations that they should not adopt in life, they are not talking about all the work carried out together with people who do not yet know the Lord as their heavenly Father, for if that were the case, Christians would have to leave the world. What the Scriptures warn Christians is concerning those associations that want to mix the confession of faith of a child of God in Christ Jesus with other aspects that are contrary to life through heavenly grace and faith in Christ Jesus. Doing so, however, through subtle propositions that claim to want to serve God despite using means that oppose the Lord's way, as described below. 1 Corinthians 5:6-11. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. The conflict of associations described in the text above is mainly related to the associations that Christians do with individuals who also claim to be children of God but who do not remain in the condition of living and walking as children of God. Considering that the Lord Jesus has already come to free people from the yoke of sin, the law, and the need for tutorship of others, the insistence on wanting to maintain or return to life once again according to sin, the law, or part of it, or even under tutors, becomes idolatry and impurity, often aggravated by the motivation and thought that godliness is a source of profit and material enrichment. A condition under which people come to trade the Word of God and those they claim to be their fellow believers. A subject covered extensively in the themes Another Gospel or A Different Gospel and The Christian and the Riches. Whoever is subject to the yoke of bondage of the law and human tutors, and announces this type of life as life according to God's will, is not under the freedom that is in Christ. On the contrary, one is under a condition that cannot be mixed with life according to the will of the Heavenly Father. If an individual, for example, announces that going to worship in temples made by human hands, giving tithes and offerings to leaders one chooses for one's life, or that subjection to human tutors or created idols are aspects that represent the path to obtaining the inheritance of God, or the blessings of God, one is still under the yoke of bondage and not in the position of an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. And by doing so, one places oneself in positions with which a Christian should never associate oneself so that this Christian does not also lose one's free state in terms of one's condition as an heir of the Lord. Thus, the solution that God presents to the conflict that tries to mix the leaven of sin and the law in the life in Christ is only one and always the same, to leave any of the associations that conflict with the righteousness and grace of God and continually placing oneself in line with the free position of a child and heir of God. Christ is the righteousness of God for everyone who believes, but submission to the ancient condemning law, even parts of it, is resistance to the righteousness of God. The path of the law, of human tutors, and mediators other than Christ is the path of unrighteousness that resists the righteousness of God already provided in Christ Jesus, which results in a position contrary to the granting of the heavenly inheritance even for those who indirectly associate themselves to this type of path contrary to God's will for His children. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 6, 14-7, 1. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In the present theme, we have already seen that the law is not of faith. Therefore, the path of performing works to obtain God's favor, also in the aspect of inheritance, is the path of unbelief regarding God's favor through grace. And the attempt to associate and mix the type of life through predefined rules to the kind of life through faith in God is obviously also incompatible with the established will of God, constituting an attempt to establish what the text above calls unequal yoke. And in addition to the texts already cited above, regarding what affects the sharing of God's inheritance to his children, there is still another very enlightening text in which the scriptures highlight several points that are included in the disparity that exists between life under the bondage of the law or the flesh and life by the grace of God through faith in the Lord, as follows. Galatians 4:22-5:1. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But, as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman but of the free. Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Through this last text, the Lord teaches that there are two covenants to which a person can join or with which one can establish a yoke, that is, a partnership for one's life journey. Furthermore, it is essential to note that the two covenants mentioned in the last text self-exclude each other or are opposite regarding receiving the inheritance from the Lord. Thus, if a person establishes a yoke or an association with the first covenant mentioned in the text above, one chooses not to receive the inheritance of the free covenant. And this can occur even if one has previously made an association with the second covenant. When a certain person is associated with the first covenant, the second covenant is, so to speak, in a situation that is suspended for him or her, for the association of a person with the first covenant stands in the way so that one cannot freely receive the inheritance of the covenant that is free or the new covenant. The first covenant, symbolized in the text by Hagar, is also equated with the covenant made on Mount Sinai and considered as Arabia, which, in turn, is the covenant based on the law of Moses, as well as being equated with the earthly Jerusalem that awaits God in material locations, temples made by human hands, and through all the rituals associated with them. The covenant of Hagar is also described as one that lives based on the effort of the flesh to carry out all the works of pre-established laws, representing, because of this, a covenant of bondage that consequently can only produce bondage to those who follow it, affiliate with it, or become its children. Now, the second covenant, the covenant of Jerusalem above, is the covenant under the grace of God through faith in the Lord. It is the covenant that generates children born of the Spirit of God or children of God according to heavenly grace and faith in Christ Jesus. The second covenant, in turn, is the covenant of freedom, For its children are guided by the Spirit of God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, representing the covenant of the Jerusalem above that cannot be imprisoned in physical territories nor constructions made by human hands. The covenant of the Jerusalem above is the covenant of freedom that consequently generates liberty for those who join this covenant by free choice. An aspect that also shows us that it is to the children of the covenant of Jerusalem above that the inheritance of the Heavenly Father is addressed. In other words, the text of Galatians 4 shows us that those who believe in Christ Jesus are also the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Nevertheless, the narrative concerning the two covenants presented in Galatians 4 not only clarifies the characteristics of each of them and of which a child of God is an heir and positions oneself as an heir, but it likewise alerts us to the fact that the attempt of a child of God to want to live associated with the two covenants simultaneously also interferes so that one does not obtain the inheritance that there is in the Lord for him or her. Expressing the last paragraphs in other words, we can note in the text of Galatians 4 that if a Christian wants to simultaneously live as a child of God who has direct access to God, but also wants to be associated with the practices of people who adopt part of the law of Sinai, of Hagar, of Moses, the first covenant, or similar to it, which characterizes a life not by faith but by the effort of the flesh and under tutors of the creation itself, this Christian, despite being born of the Spirit of God, places for oneself an obstacle regarding receiving parts of the inheritance that the Heavenly Father would like to grant him or her, for God declares that the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. When, regarding spiritual matters, a Christian associates with those who are seeking to serve God based on external rules, as was the case in the first covenant, even if it is only around some rules of this covenant or similar to it, this Christian comes under the risk of imposing on oneself a restriction on one's status as an heir because God will not share the inheritance of his children with those who are children of the covenant so-called bondwoman. He who wants to live by the law, even if only some parts of it, chooses to be subject to the precepts of the law and not the grace of God. Those who enter into a covenant with the law will receive their inheritance through the law. For this reason, God does not share the inheritance according to grace towards them, but also establishes restrictions regarding those who associate with them even if they have previously achieved the status of children of God. If the Lord would not restrict the inheritance in these cases, those who are of the law would indirectly receive the inheritance from God that is not pertinent to them until they repent of their insistence on the path opposite to faith and, therefore, the way of unrighteousness before God. Romans 10, 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. Galatians 3, 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Those who choose to live by the law inherit non-justification before God and non-inheritance of the kingdom of God. Therefore, if a Christian associates with them in their practices contrary to the grace of God, the Lord, by not granting his inheritance to those who choose to remain under the law, and not in the condition of children, can also withhold the inheritance of the children who do not dissociate themselves from those who choose a life subject to the law or bondage represented by Hagar. And, again, the solution that God instructs his children who got involved in the old or first covenant, or associated themselves partially or indirectly with it, is to separate themselves from the things of the covenant of Hagar and its fruits, continually opting for the life guided by the Holy Spirit through faith and fellowship with Christ and the Heavenly Father. In this way, the fact that the Scriptures so repeatedly warn us about the inappropriate condition that exists in subjection or association with the covenant that opposes faith in God also occurs because human beings so often tend to trust in the creation more than in the Creator. The text of the book of Galatians that narrates the characteristics of the two covenants in reference does not declare that the option for the covenant of freedom is easy and without opposition from the flesh and those who do not want to get separated from the first covenant. However, the second covenant, the new covenant, is the path where there is the inheritance of being guided by the Holy Spirit and in which, because of this, the children of God can be led in triumph to inherit more and more of the immeasurable and incomparable inheritance of God towards them. The Holy Spirit leads the children of God who pay due attention to Him to cry out to the Heavenly Father in spirit and truth so that they may have a relationship with God, but also so that they enjoy the status of heirs in the Lord and that they, in the Lord, may receive each part of this inheritance in abundance. Since ancient times, according to the prophet Jeremiah, for example, the scriptures show us that inheritance is a condition of children, but also of children who remain in God, having the Heavenly Father as the only spiritual and eternal Father of their lives. A fundamental and priority condition for a life that aims to achieve the desirable and most beautiful inheritance among nations. Jeremiah 3:19. But I said, how can I, the Lord, put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a beautiful heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, you shall call me, my Father, and not turn away from me. Ephesians 4:1-6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all.